We began this series, as I said a moment ago, last week. We're looking at the fact that Jesus is coming, and that's what the world is focusing on, at least in part, okay? People focusing on Christmas, and as we look at this, a couple of things that we saw last week, we talked about the fact that in this day and age, Santa Claus has really emerged as the king of Christmas. That is for, I think, for most people, that's where the focus is on Santa Claus. They're looking at him and looking at all the stuff that they want to get, okay? We said last week, nothing wrong with Santa Claus, but what we want to do is, and what I'm trying to do is help us to go back and refocus ourselves, and then also give us some tools that we can use to try to help other people to refocus on what's the real, true meaning of Christmas. Now again, as we have said, we know that December 25th is not the day that Jesus was born, but it is the day that is celebrated as his birth, and it's an opportunity when people throughout the world are at least to some degree thinking about Jesus, and so doors can be open to us to be able to share the gospel with people, I think, a little bit more at this time of year, okay? So, one of the things that we want to emphasize, especially in this time right now, this pandemic, and things are getting worse with the pandemic, we keep hearing surges and all of these kinds of things, but you know what? People are talking about the vaccine. We need to get a vaccine, and as soon as the vaccine gets here, then everything will be fine, right? Well, you know what? The vaccine is not our hope. Jesus is our hope. And the reason is because COVID is not our biggest problem. Sin is our biggest problem. Okay? And that's what we need help overcoming, is sin. Okay? Santa Claus makes us feel good, but he's not able to cure what makes us sick. Right? So yes, celebrate Santa Claus, but let's focus on Jesus, okay? Because he is our one and only true hope for what ails us, okay? Our biggest problem that we have is sin. That's what separates us from God. And we need that sin to be removed so we can be reconciled to God. And the only way that can happen is through the blood of Jesus. So our focus needs to be on Jesus and helping other people to see Jesus and his coming here for what it really is all about, okay? So what we're doing in this study leading up to Christmas is we're looking at some of the prophecies in the Old Testament that have to do with the coming of the Messiah. And noticing how some of those prophecies have been fulfilled, okay? Because there's even more that needs to be looked at. Brian mentioned to you about that he's coming back, and that's going to be the follow-up to this study. After the first of the year, we will be looking at that part of it. We're looking at he is coming now, but then we're going to look at the fact that he's coming back, okay? So that's where we're going with all of this, ultimately. But we want to look at these prophecies, and what are they telling us? Those prophecies gave a tremendous amount of hope to a lost world. And they can still give hope to people today. And all of this, again, is to prepare us as we are approaching this Christmas season. To prepare us, our minds and our hearts for Jesus, and to help us, again, give us tools that we can share with other people to focus their minds and hearts on Jesus as well. So we talk about he is coming, all right? And this morning we're going to talk about all nations, okay? All nations. We go back and we look at the promise or the prophecy, if you will, because that's what it was a promise, but it was also a prophecy that God gave directly to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, in verses 1 through 3, which were read for us as we began, God prophesied seven different things. Okay? Now, six of those things would be fulfilled in Abraham's lifetime. The seventh would be fulfilled much, much later. So let's look at, first of all, the six things, all right? But what is it that God said? He prophesied, he promised that these things were going to take place. One, he said, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Did Abraham become a great nation in his lifetime? Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yes, he did. Secondly, he said, I will bless you. And how many blessings did Abraham have in his lifetime? Tremendous blessings, right? Okay? He says, I will make your name great. Was Abraham's name great in his lifetime? Yes, it was. People knew Abraham. They knew who he was. Okay? He said, you will be a blessing. Was Abraham a blessing to a lot of different people?
Yeah.
Absolutely, even in his lifetime. And he says, I will bless those who bless you. Did God do that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Many times God blessed those who blessed Abraham, and he said, I will curse those who curse you. And he did that many times also, didn't he? Okay. So all of these things, these six things, God fulfilled during Abraham's lifetime. Some of them he continued to fulfill, and Abraham's name became even greater. He became a greater nation, you see, as time went on. But then there's that last one. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And that is a promise that we have talked about many, many, many times here. We've emphasized it over and over again. And the reason that I do is because that statement, that promise, that prophecy, if you will, is vitally important to the whole picture of the salvation of mankind. And as we go through this study this morning, I hope that you will understand more and more why that is. That prophecy, that promise would come much later. As I mentioned a moment ago, the writer of Hebrews puts it this way. As he talks about Abraham and all of the other people of great faith of his day, he says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So in other words, the promise, that promise of all nations being blessed through Abraham, that part of the promise was fulfilled for all of us at the same time. Abraham did not see that part of the promise being fulfilled because that was fulfilled in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That God gave all of us the opportunity to share in that part of God's promise or prophecy, if you will. The prophecy of all nations being blessed through Abraham was repeated dozens of times in the Old Testament, various situations and circumstances. And so what we're going to look at, let's go through and let's mention several of these, not all of them, but several of these times where God repeated this promise or prophecy concerning all nations. And hopefully it will help us to begin to understand the importance or significance of that part of the prophecy. He said in Genesis chapter 18, Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. And then again, over in chapter 22, and though your offspring, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed him, God said to Abraham. To Isaac, okay? To Isaac, God repeated the promise or the prophecy. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, look at, there it is again, all nations on the earth will be blessed. And then to Jacob, he repeats the promise. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. All peoples on earth. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 67, verses 2 and 3, "May God have pity on us and bless us. May he let his face shine upon us, so may your way be known upon earth." Among who? All nations, your salvation to be known. Among all nations. Right? And in Psalm 72, verse 17, "May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. All nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed." All nations. There it is again. And in Psalm 96, 1 through 3, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim what? His salvation from day to day. Declare his glory where? Among the nations. His marvelous works among all the peoples." You see, the people of Abraham's day and beyond, those of the Old Testament, they knew of the promise that God gave to Abraham. And though somewhere along the line they kind of lost sight of what that really, really meant, those who were living in obedience to God were writing and were talking about this promise that God gave. That it was a promise for everyone, for all men, for all nations, to be blessed by God himself. Isaiah, in Isaiah 2 and verse 2, he talks about what's going to happen. "It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills." And here it is again, "All nations shall flow unto it." All nations. Say? And in 42 and verse 1, talking about Jesus, he says, "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him and will bring forth" what? "Justice to the nations." You see, this promise that God gave to Abraham was not just a promise that God didn't really mean to keep. It wasn't a promise that God just kind of gave, as to make Abraham feel good. It was a promise that describes what God's plan was all about. To bring salvation to all men. That everyone would have opportunity to be reconciled to God. And he fulfilled that promise through Jesus Christ. Look at what Isaiah says in 51 and verse 4. "Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nations. The law will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations." That's what God intended from the beginning. To bring justice, to bring life to all men. And Haggai in 2 and verse 7 says, "I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty." Again, there it is. All nations. All nations. The Israelites being made a separate nation, somewhere along the line, lost sight of the all nations part of the promise to Abraham. They saw themselves as God's exclusive possession that was not applicable to anyone else. And thus, they truly separated themselves, so to speak, from everyone else, from all other nations, and they lost that part of the meaning of the promise. That God never intended for his salvation to be only given to the Jews. But he intended for it to be for all nations. Everywhere. Now let's talk about the initial fulfillment of that prophecy or that promise that God gave way back then to Abraham. Okay? We saw last week in the very first prophecy in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, okay, that God told Adam and Eve then, he told the serpent. And by the way, it's interesting to me, we didn't really talk about this a whole lot, but it's interesting to me that he gave that very first prophecy to Satan himself, telling him this is what's going to happen. And we saw through that study that when God told the serpent that he, that is Jesus, would crush his head and that the serpent would strike his heel, that on the cross of Calvary, that's exactly what happened. For a time, Satan bruised the heel of Jesus when he was on the cross of Calvary. But ultimately, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection crushed the head of Satan, and he overcame death. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 2, has this to say. Okay? He says, "For he himself is our peace." And that's what we need, isn't it? With peace between us and God. And he says, "He himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh," that is, on the cross of Calvary, "the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two." In other words, again, this is the one, this is all nations. It's no longer just Jew and Gentiles, but it's one new man. All nations would be blessed by him. Thus, he says, making peace and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. That's the all nations part of the prophecy. All nations becoming one through Jesus Christ. In Zechariah 9 and verses 9 and 10, two parts of this I want to look at. First of all, he says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey," on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And so this we know was fulfilled there at the beginning of the week before Jesus was crucified, okay? On the triumphal entry that Jesus came into Jerusalem and the people were crying out to him, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." See? He rode in there on a donkey. So that part was fulfilled. Verse 10, "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace." To who? To the nations. "His rule shall be from sea to sea and from river to the ends, from the river to the ends of the earth." Nations. It's all about the nations. All nations. All nations that are saved through him. John the Baptist, in preparing the way for the one who would save all nations, says this, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, and the rough way smooth." And what? "All peoples will see God's salvation." You see, that's what it's all about. That's what the "all nations will be blessed through you" is all about. That all people will see God's salvation. Everyone. no matter where they come from, no matter what their background, no matter what the color of their skin, no matter what they have even done in their life, have opportunity to see the salvation of God through Jesus Christ. Thus all nations will be blessed through you. The promise of salvation is spoken about, it being fulfilled in Acts chapter 3. As Peter is preaching to the people there in Jerusalem after healing a beggar, okay, he gets up and he says, "Indeed, beginning with Samuel and all the prophets who have spoken, have foretold these days. And you are the heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham," and here it is again, "through your offspring all peoples on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." So here Peter is telling the Israelite people, the Jews who were first given the promise, they were given first the opportunity also to be blessed as a nation through Jesus Christ. But then look at what Paul has to say in Galatians chapter 3. He's talking about Abraham and Abraham obeying God's promise. He says, "Abraham believed God and it was accredited or accounted to him as righteousness. And those of faith are the sons of Abraham." And he's talking about us. You and me, we-ins, okay? That's who he's talking about here, the Gentiles. If we are of faith in God, then we are heirs of Abraham, and thus heirs of the promise that all nations will be blessed through him. And he goes on to say this, "And the scripture foreseeing," okay? There's the prophecy. "Foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all the nations be blessed.'" God let it be known way beforehand what his plan was, and his plan always was that the blessing would come to all men everywhere through Jesus Christ, his Son. That promise, that prophecy, okay, still needs to be fulfilled today. Okay? And that means you and I have work to do to help out the fulfilling of that prophecy. Jesus gave this commission, what we refer to as the Great Commission, to his disciples. And in turn, it is given to us today. It still is in effect today. As he tells them and he tells you and I today to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and the promise that he says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That we are to take the gospel to everyone that we possibly can. All nations, still today. All right? Let's talk finally about the ultimate fulfillment. And again, keep in mind, this is the all nations. Okay? So it was initially fulfilled in the cross of Christ so that everyone, all nations, everyone in the world has opportunity to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, ultimately, what does that really mean? We need to look at the book of Revelation to find that out. Okay? In Revelation, it tells us they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Who is it that God, that Jesus purchased with his blood? It was everyone. Men from every tribe, tongue, and people and nation. And in the Revelation, it's sharing with us that there is a song, a new song being sung about that promise, that through you all nations of the earth would be blessed. And we see that taking place in John's Revelation. We see a little bit later on. In the scene of all those who are gathered around the throne, okay? He says, before me was a great multitude that no one could count. And where was this multitude from? From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. So ultimately, that's what it's the fulfillment is going to look at. So in other words, the peace that is acquired through Jesus Christ is not something just for this life, but ultimately it is for eternal life, that those who accept that salvation get to be around the throne of Almighty God for all eternity. Amen? In chapter 14 and verse 6, and this is as things are getting towards, you know, the end times and the warnings that are coming to those who have not yet accepted Christ. Look at what he says here. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Making the effort to still proclaim the gospel of salvation so that everyone will have the opportunity to be with God forever. We see it ultimately being fulfilled in heaven. The promise that God gave to Abraham that all nations would be blessed through him. Jesus died on the cross and overcame death. He makes reconciliation possible between us and God. And that is for everyone, not a select group of people, but for all men everywhere. So that ultimately we can find ourselves surrounding the throne of Almighty God for all eternity in heaven. The blessings to the nations. God's prophecy, if you will, to Abraham that through you or your seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed. And God fulfilled that promise in Jesus Christ. Thus the purpose of his coming here in the form of a human being. Amen. So that you and I could be reconciled to Almighty God and receive that blessing. What an awesome promise. Amen? Okay. So, as we consider this prophecy, all nations, we got a lot of work to do, don't we? Because there's still a lot of people around us, a lot of people in the world that have not heard and received the message. That message is still valid today. Okay? And it's a message, again, that we have opportunity at this particular time of the year, when people are focused a little bit more on Jesus and the coming of the King and all of the stuff that comes around Christmas, that doors will be open. And so I implore you to look for those opportunities. Look for those opportunities so that you can help people of all nations find that blessing that God promised Abraham. Wesley has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And in just a moment, we're going to stand and sing together. And that's an opportunity for anyone, first of all, anyone that is here, if you have something that we can help you with, a prayer request that you have, we just need to know what it is so that we can address that. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private conversation or prayer with him. For those of you who are online worshiping with us, if you have a prayer request that you would like for us to address, you can text Dale. His number will be on the screen. Wesley won't be able to answer your text because he'll be leading our singing. But you can text Dale, and we will address your prayer request that way. And for anyone here who is not a Christian, If you desire to become one today, you can do that right now. Just all you got to do is come up and let me know, and we will make that happen. For those of you who are online worshiping with us, if there's someone there who is not yet a Christian and you desire to become a Christian, then you just need to know that in order to do that, you need to repent of the sin that is separating you from God. You need to confess Jesus as Lord. And you need to have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that as soon as possible. That you can text Dale, you can let us know that that's what you want to do, and we will make it happen for you as soon as we possibly can arrange that. All right, so all you got to do is let us know that you want to do that. You're ready to make that commitment. Those of you who are here together, let's stand and sing. Those of you who are worshiping with us, you can stand or you can sit where you are, and you can still sing with us. Let's stand together and sing. Wesley?